I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Is starting, actually, with an afternoon game.
Oh.
I think Oklahoma City and Philly today. That's the game that Bontemps is at when we talked to Tim Bontemps. And then the Lakers in Houston tip off the ABC Saturday night series, which the Warriors are actually going to be featured on the next 2 weeks after tonight. The Warriors are in Boston next Saturday night. And then the Lakers are at Oracle the following Saturday night, the night before the Super Bowl. So the Warriors aren't in the first week of it, but they're going to be in it, fans. So don't be alarmed that they're not in it the first week. But Dave McMenamin tweeting out from Lakers shoot-around, a little bit of an update on some of their injuries as we look toward the Warriors on Monday. Luke Walton says he hopes to have a full practice with both LeBron and Rondo on Sunday in L.A., but he does not anticipate either of them playing Monday versus the Warriors. You're going to have a full practice tomorrow after you play in Houston tonight? What's that all about?
Huh. That is... I don't know.
Isn't that strange?
I wonder if it's going to be
in Houston.
I wonder if it's going to be a full practice. You know, they might just mean those two guys are going to be at practice trying to simulate something. Hey, maybe... Maybe he's channeling his, inner Jim Boylan. You know what I'm saying?
They've got to work their conditioning up. They got to get their conditioning up.
You know, it's that fine line between the old school and the dumb school. Remember that?
That's one of my favorites.
That is a good one. That is a good one. Should we? It's an NBA story.
You got to reset that. Yeah, okay. You can reset it. Sam Mitchell, right?
Mitchell's coaching the Toronto Raptors. And they played a back-to-back. And the next day he gave them off, and then the next day they had practice. And at practice, one of the reporters said, why didn't you guys practice? I guess maybe they lost both games or something. And the reporter said, well, why didn't you practice yesterday? And Sam Mitchell said, well, you know, it's March, and we just had a back-to-back. And, you know, these guys, they need their bodies to recuperate. And the guy, you know, and Sam said, really? You know what I mean? And the reporter said, oh, you know, I just thought maybe, you know, old school, you know, you'd practice. And Sam Mitchell goes, old school? That's not old school. That's dumb school.
That's a good line.
So it was Sam Mitchell.
And the one thing we should also pass along with this Lakers-LeBron stuff, LeBron has not officially ruled LeBron out for Monday.
Well, that's what's most important.
And that's the only thing that's important. But it doesn't sound like he's going to play. And it doesn't sound like Rondo's going to play either, which is unfortunate. And I don't think either one of those guys have played since Christmas, actually, which is, you know, it's too bad.
Yeah, it is. And particularly because we've seen the difference between the Lakers with and without LeBron. Because, the reality is that game on Christmas – That was an anomaly, the way the Lakers played without LeBron during the second half of that game. I mean, it was incredible, really, now that you look back on it.
Yeah, they've been a strange team, and that, like a lot of bad teams, and I do think without LeBron, the Lakers are a bad team. Without LeBron and Rondo, I would say they're absolutely a bad team. But it's been up and down. It's been... You know, you go to Sacramento and you blow a game. You know, when you have a lead late, you get beat on a buzzer beater. You beat Oklahoma City, but you lose at home to the Knicks. You know, it's like stuff like that. You go get a big win, and then you lose to Cleveland at home. Like it's that kind of nonsense. You know, that kind of can't take you seriously nonsense. The ebbs and flows of just not being ready to play every night. That I think has been, you know, their biggest problem. And you add it all up, and it's like you look at, they probably look at it and go 5-7. Well, that 5-7 should be, you know, 8-4. You know,
right.
If you don't trick a couple, you know, if you beat the Knicks, don't blow the game in Sacramento, and you know, don't lose to, what was the other, oh, don't lose to Cleveland. Well, boom, boom,
yeah.
Boom, right there. You're right there, you're, you know, maybe the fifth seed, and LeBron's coming back at some point here.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. It's going to be interesting, but that's what I always think when I look at the West, because the teams are still bunched up. You know, they really are. And one significant injury could change. I mean, you know, San Antonio loses Aldridge, they're in trouble and could fall out of it. I mean, what happens if Oklahoma City loses Paul George? That then all of a sudden they're a little more vulnerable. So, and there's still plenty of time left in the season. All right, let's get back to Cousins, JD.
Yeah, let's do it.
All right. So, one of the things we were asking, and I'll just update anybody who just joined us. Obviously, DeMarcus Cousins made his Warriors debut last night. 14 points, 6 rebounds, 3 assists in just 15 minutes. He fouled out. The Warriors won 112-94. Warriors play again on Monday against the Los Angeles Lakers. And I think basically we're talking about what you thought, how you thought Cousins did. If you'd give him a grade, what kind of grade would you give him? If you don't want to give him a grade, was he better than you thought? Not as good as you thought? And I think the consensus pretty much is he was better than I thought. Let's put it that way. I thought he was pretty solid physically, not great, but more important, JD, I thought it all looked comfortable with him out on the floor. It still looked like the Warriors. He, like you said earlier, it did look like he fit.
It looked like he fit, and aside from the first couple of possessions where they were trying to get him the ball, the first possession in particular where they ran that post up for him and he seemingly fell out of his own body trying to get the ball to the basket and make a move. Aside from that, I thought they really didn't force feed him the ball. They very comfortably just tried to play basketball, and if there were shots there, he could take them. If there were moves to be made, he could try to make them. So I think that was the biggest takeaway for me, was just how comfortable it looked. I actually thought physically he looked pretty good, which that may be the one where he exceeded my expectations, I thought he was maybe not running well consistently, but I thought he ran hard consistently, and he looked comfortable, almost like there was a barrier he could see that he could push through eventually. It almost felt like it was more about conditioning than it was about, you know, worry about the injury or any after effects from the injury, if that makes sense. It was almost like it was just basic, you know, conditioning, just basic, get your body right. And so I think that would leave me with a little bit of optimism as well. And then it's just the fact that he's another weapon, the fact that he's just another guy that can knock down a shot if you leave him open. And the Clippers left him open a couple of times, and it basically ended their night.
Yeah, and in fairness, Cousins is going to get tested a little more defensively. I think obviously in the upcoming games, we can count on, you know, one hand or maybe two, kind of how many times he had to make a defensive play. And I think he made them as well as you could have expected him to make them. But it's going to come a little more fast. It's going to come a little more frequently. And, you know, I think we are going to see some defensive warts that maybe we didn't see last night. But again, even if we do, it's not going to be so much as to mitigate the positives he brings, or at least positives he brought last night.
Yeah, and I think the other aspect of it is, okay, now how does his body feel today?
Right,
too?
Exactly.
And that's the answer that we're not going to know until tomorrow. The Warriors are off today. They're going to have practice tomorrow over at UCLA, and we'll get a better feel. I mean, that's going to be the tone of that practice, is going to be, how's DeMarcus feeling? How, you know, are you going to have to, you know, do anything differently? I know he didn't play a lot of minutes, obviously, in the game last night, but is it something that may even warrant a rest? I mean, you wouldn't think so, obviously, with a couple of days off in between, but it's just, how does the body respond after playing basketball competitively, even just 15 minutes for the first time in nearly a full year?
Absolutely right. And even last night's game is way more intense than whatever he did down in Santa Cruz, because even when you scrimmage, it's not like an NBA game.
All right, 888-957-9570, 888-957-9570. It's Warriors this week. It's John Dickinson in L.A., Matt Steinmetz in San Francisco. More of your phone calls coming up, and Tim Roy at 1230 here on 95.7 The Game.
I was extremely nervous. You know, I was texting my family and, you know, friends kind of before the game. I talked to my brother. I talked to my sister, my older sister as well. And I was just telling them how nervous I was. And they're like, man, you've been doing this your whole life. Like, it's kind of like, you know, riding a bike. You know, once you learn, you kind of never forget. I was nervous all the way up until, and stomach was tight, butterflies, BGs, whatever you want to call it. And but once the ball went up, you know, everything kind of went out the window, and it all felt familiar.
Now back to Warriors this week on 95.7 The Game.
John Dickinson in Los Angeles, Matt Steinmetz in San Francisco. Final segment for you here on a Saturday. We're going to take you all the way to 1 o'clock. 888-957-9570. As you hear from DeMarcus Cousins there following the ball game last night as he makes his Warriors debut with 14 points, 6 boards, 3 assists, a steal, a block, 5 of 11 overall shooting, but 3 of 4 from 3. He did foul out in 15 minutes. Warriors win their 7th in a row, 112-94, over the Clippers at Staples Center. Yeah, DeMarcus last night, Steiny, was just as candid and jovial and comfortable in that post-game press conference as I've ever seen him. And I go back, you know, I tell you all the time, I mean, my last year working at Sacramento covering the Kings full-time was his rookie season. And you know, he can be moody at times,
right,
and turn on a dime with that mood. But there was just an appreciation, I think, for everything that he's had to go through the last year that was on display there at the end of the night.
Well, one thing that's impossible to imagine is a guy like that suffers the kind of injury he suffered. So he doesn't play for a year. But not only doesn't he play for a year, you know, he loses money. I mean, he loses a lot of money. And not only does he lose a lot of money, but he's got to be worried that he may have lost a lot of money for the rest of his life, not just for the year he's been hurt. I mean, that's
right,
how serious that injury is. So when you're not playing basketball for a year and the rehab's going slow, I mean, I can't imagine how scary it would be. How scary it would be. And I know, okay, he's still got made $75 million, whatever. I get that. But it's about the rest of the money he was going to make and also the fact that he might not be the same player. What I'm getting around to is it was obvious, and I think he said it last night, that what'd he say? It was like the happiest he's ever been playing basketball? He said something
like one of the happiest nights of his life.
One of the happiest
period.
Nights of his life. And, you know, that sounds great, and we have a tendency to gloss over it. But I'll bet it was because we can't imagine what he went through over the course of the last year. I mean, he had his career flash in front of his eyes.
Yeah, no doubt. I mean, a year ago today, right? So he hadn't suffered the injury yet. It was still a week away. But a year ago today, he was on pace to get another, let's say, $90 and $110 million from somebody.
No doubt.
I mean, at least,
yeah,
you know, for the next 4 or 5 years.
Well, if that Pelicans team makes the playoffs, now they won a round last year, but nobody would have known it. But the point is if it's Cousins and Davis and they lead the Pelicans to the playoffs and it's kind of it's the Pelicans version of Durant and Curry, kind of Davis and Cousins. Oh, he would have gotten paid in a big, big way, I think.
Yeah, big time way. 888-957-9570. Yeah, I'm not sure. I think you and I disagree on that a little bit.
Yeah, I'll say it. I think if he's, again, no setbacks and he gets back to, let's say tonight he was, or yesterday he was 60. Let's say by the end of the season he gets to 85. I think he'd get a monster contract. I'd say north of 20. That's, you know, it's just a guess, but that's kind of what I think.
Yeah, and we had Tim Bontemps on of ESPN, and he thought the one way I could see it would be the 1 year deal. I could see a 1 year $25 million contract or something like that. That wouldn't surprise me.
Well, and you know what's funny, JD, is Bontemps brought up something that I had actually forgotten about. That people do think he's kind of a head case. You know what I mean? I've almost forgotten about that part of it because I don't think that's going to be a factor with the Warriors. Now, it may be a factor with his another team if he's got to be the number one option again. But yes, I get what I like that part. You have to acknowledge that there are going to be teams out there that aren't going to have the structure to even try to go after Cousins because they can't afford to take on that risk.
Yeah, and I think the other factor going back to, you know, the way he was viewed and or is viewed based on his temperament, you know, that's part of selling himself to the rest of the league that I think he's trying to change with the Warriors. He's trying to use the Warriors to be able to change, like to show, hey, I can be a guy that gets along with a coach and I can be a guy that gets along with my teammates and I could be a guy that's, you know, jovial, you know, with some semi-regularity like he was last night in terms of dealing with the media. I've said this to you many times. I think a lot of the temperament stuff with him is a little bit overblown, and has been at different points in his career. Not that he hasn't had an issue with it, but the level at which it's a problem, I think has been overblown to a certain extent. And I think that bothers him. You know what I mean? I think that almost creates a snowball effect that you know, where he sits back and thinks, damn, you know, yeah, okay, I got mad, but you know what? Everybody thinks I'm this guy that's just mad all the time, and I'm getting into it with these coaches all the time, and everybody, you know, I hate everybody, and my teammates hate me, and I think he looks at himself in the mirror and goes, you know what? Not only is it not as big of a deal, it's not even really true.
Right.
And I think so I think that then he carries that anger around with him where there's just this misperception of what he is and how he acts.
Yeah, and here's the other side of that from the 925. Nobody's worried about the fact that in his first game back, Cousins is already acting out toward the officials and he fouled out. He hasn't changed, and it will become an issue. Not outside the realm of possibility.
No, you know? It's not. It's not. Look, he's still going to get technicals, and he's still going to argue with the officials. Like, that isn't going to change. That's just a part of who he is as a player, so you take it or leave it. Like, that part isn't going to change. You know, and again, I think there's a difference between being a hothead with the officials and you know, having problems getting along with your coach or having your teammates not like you. Like, to me, those are those are two different level of problems. It's apples and oranges, actually.
Yeah, no, you're exactly right. I mean, Rasheed Wallace's teammates liked playing with him.
Yeah, you said to
Rasheed
me last
couldn't
night,
stand officials, period.
We were talking about Draymond and Durant. I mean, Durant gets as angry at the officials as anybody in the league.
Exactly.
When he snaps. You know, it's not – he's consistently in the league leaders in technical fouls.
All three of them are.
Yeah, all three of them are.
And that's going to be – you know, that's going to be – that's going to be fun keeping an eye on. It just is. I mean, we saw a little bit about it last night. You know, we saw Draymond getting one. And then, you know what? Here's the other thing. He dunked the way he dunked because of, you know, how annoyed and upset he was. You know what I mean? And I guarantee you, Draymond didn't know that if he got, you know what I mean? He didn't.
There was a second where Draymond thought, oh, I'm out of the game because of that.
No doubt about it. I think the TV even caught one moment where Kerr was like, yeah, you're gone. You got to, like, go. And then Draymond kind of kept hanging around. And my first inclination was, of course, he's got to hang around. You know, he's got to hang around.
Funny story.
The point is, real quick, JD, is like, why would he dunk that way if he knew it was going to be a second one?
I mean, that's only he knows that.
Because was that the biggest no-brainer of all no-brainers when it comes to hanging on the rim? I mean, his foot hit the backside of the backboard. He had pulled himself up so much. So,
yeah,
I mean,
no, it's
just
made
funny.
Me think it was funny, and you made me think of this. Do you remember the game a couple years ago where DeMarcus Cousins got ejected, and then they took the technical back, and he ran back from the locker room?
Vaguely.
This is when he was.
Vaguely.
When he was still, it's probably worth a Google search, you know, during a break, because it was really a funny moment. They were playing Portland, and he got called for a foul, got called for a technical, was ejected, just furious, and basically was ejected, went to the locker room. They reviewed the whole everything that had gone on, and they took the technical away. So he came running back from the locker room.
I do remember that,
actually.
I do remember that, actually.
I think he had like 50 points in that game. I think he had a monster game, actually, in one of those games. But he just, it's that, that's DeMarcus Cousins. Like, that's what you get. Let's go to Matt in San Francisco. Matt, you're on 95.7 The Game. How are you?
I'm all right. I got cut off this morning. But I want to say, the reason why I think DeMarcus Cousins is coming back, right, is that if he's not 100% of where he really want to be and teams are not giving that big contract, I think since the Warriors gambled and gave him a chance when nobody else gave him a chance, I think if he stayed for 1 year for that 6.3, knowing that the Warriors are going to have a big decision to give Draymond Green or Klay Thompson a big contract, and if they don't, then the Warriors will end up giving him that big contract. And then winning solves everything. You know, just seeing the way it's structured, like Matt said, you know, it's like, he's happy here. You know, happy care a lot of things. You know what I mean? So I think DeMarcus will stay. That's one chance I think he might stay, because he's happy here. Like he said earlier, he said, man, there's a chance I'm going to sign with the Warriors for another year.
Thanks for the call, Matt. Appreciate it. Right. Yeah. Thanks, Matt. Yeah, I mean, I don't want to really, you know, I don't want to get into whether Cousins or not is going to stay. Let's see him play some more games first. I just think, you know, if he plays and he plays well, you know, it's going to be tough for him to give up the kind of money he's going to be offered if he plays and he plays well.
All right, let's get to the voice of the Golden State Warriors, who joins us each and every week here on 95.7 The Game. It is Tim Roy for live from Los Angeles. Tim, how are you doing? Good afternoon.
I'm doing great. How are you guys doing?
We're doing well. Real good.
Give us your initial thoughts on how you thought DeMarcus Cousins fit into everything last night.
You know, I was really pleased with it all, because I thought he looked good. I thought his movements were good. There was no hesitation. He didn't tippy-toe around anything. And, you know, other than, you know, he might have been a step late on a couple of drives, got them to early foul trouble, but that was fine. On the whole, I thought it was a success. I think everybody had fun doing it, and they won the game. So I think all in all, it was great.
Tim, let's be honest. It exceeded expectations. I don't think there's any doubt about that. And because it exceeded expectations, I got to thinking, come on, this is a joke. This can't be happening, can it? You're going to put DeMarcus Cousins on the Golden State Warriors. I mean, jeez. I mean, it is pretty amazing when you step back and you think about what kind of career Cousins has had away from the Warriors.
Well, here's the thing I thought of last night after the game, unfortunately. I wish I had thought of this on the air. But who's the last? I mean, Andrew Bogut was really good, a really good center. And Zaza Pachulia, JaVale McGee, as a tandem, they were very good for the Warriors. But individually, who was the last Warrior center that could put up 20 and 10? Joe Barry Carroll? I mean, it shows you how, you know,
Ronnie Cicely, right? Right, Tim?
Yeah.
We could do this.
The 20 and 10 he would put up would not have an impact on the game whatsoever.
We could play this game. You know what? I'll tell you what. When Patrick O'Brien got the touches in the right places, I mean, he could
Biedrich had some games, right? Biedrich had some games in the We Believe year.
Anders had about three or four really good seasons for the Warriors, averaging either a double-double or close to it. Very athletic, had good hands, could run the pick and roll. Davis, we kind of remember him at the end, right? In the middle of his career, he had some really good years for the Warriors. He really did.
I remember
some monster games. Like you said, averaging a double double. But he would have a 20-17 kind of a game here and there, wouldn't he?
He had some big nights. I guarantee you had some big nights. Yeah.
Go ahead, JD. I'm going to find some specific numbers.
All right, sounds good. What did you think of the way Steve Kerr handled the rotation? I think everybody kind of had the same thought that it was going to wind up being the short bursts and that he was going to start the second and fourth quarters with Draymond and with Clay and with Iguodala and with Livingston. I know that group specifically didn't play too long together, but what did you think of the early look at that group, which is going to anchor that part of the game?
I think last night he also, because of the foul trouble, the game kind of dictated what kind of pitches he could go with. And let's face it, it's the first game out. He's going to experiment a little bit. Why not? It's mid-season. Warriors are in great shape. I think they'll eventually settle on some rotations, but I think when you get sort of, it's almost an embarrassment of riches that you could put that second group out there with Cousins and Thompson and Livingston and, Iguodala. I really like that kind of combination. You've got guys who can handle the ball and Iguodala and Livingston. You got Cousins to run the offense through. Clay could do what Clay does, which he does really, really well. I think it's really intriguing to see what kind of a second unit rotation they settle on, because it could be an incredible second unit that where earlier this year with the injuries they had, all year long the Warriors bench has been outscored, but now those bench guys might get better opportunities because they're playing alongside another player who can get them the ball.
One of the things JD, go ahead.
No, I'm just gonna fall. No, just if you're dropping Looney down to the bench and you're basically making that group with three starters and three all-stars plus Iguodala and Livingston your main, bench unit, and then you're just peppering in McKinney here and there, you're peppering in Quinn Cook here and there, even Jarebko and Jordan Bell, they become more spot players. I think them in that role that can change on a night-in-night-out basis. I think that does make you a lot deeper really quickly.
Oh, no question, because now you've got, Looney, who started a bunch of games, Jarebko started some games for you, and now, after the front five, you have Looney, Livingston, Iguodala, Jarebko, Cook, and McKinney, 11 deep. And as you say, you can sprinkle in McKinney here and there where you need him, Quinn Cook when you need him, and now all of a sudden, these guys are playing in positions where they're going to be a lot more comfortable, and I just think this whole group is starting to come together.
All right, Tim. One thing that we have the privilege of doing is having seen some of these players back in the day that now people think of, and it's not actually the correct way to think of them. And I found Andras Biedrich. All right, I want people to really listen to this. This is his first 12 games. Okay. Of the 2008-2009 season. Points, rebounds. You ready?
Yep.
14-12, 17-13, 23-11, 16-22, 12-11, 23-12, 16-18, 13-15, 17-19, 17-16, 17-9, 23-10. Unbelievable if you really think about it.
I remember him being pretty good. I remember him being pretty good there for a time. That's okay. And that was when I wasn't covering the Warriors like you guys were, obviously.
He fell apart. I something happened, and who knows why. But Andras Biedrich had great hands. He could run like a gazelle. He had very good timing, good defender. He was perfect, let's say, for that Baron Davis team in the year after.
Absolutely, he was part of that. You know, he was a guy that you know, they had a lot of success with. It's just too bad his career ended the way it did.
Yeah, let's get back to Cousins real quick. The one thing that stuck out to me, if this sounds right, Tim, is that Cousins didn't stick out to me. It looked like he very much belonged. I didn't see anybody overly deferring like I thought might happen. He didn't force anything. They didn't force anything to him. He didn't really take any bad shots. I mean, he looked, the Warriors still looked very, very much like the Warriors.
Yeah, I mean, that's true. You know, now you think about it, they didn't miss a beat. They didn't change anything the way they did. I think Steve Kerr pointed out that, you know, they're not going to change the way they play. Now, maybe on the fast break, you know, DeMarcus will be the guy trailing, which is not a bad thing because he can shoot from out there. So I think on the whole, it was a very Warrior-like game. You know, the flow was tough because we had a lot of foul calls in the game, but on the whole, like I said, I thought the whole night was a huge success. And a personal note, you have to be happy for the guy, you know, because even the most confident guy coming back has to think at some point, has to have that dark day where, you know, if the rehab's not going well and you're thinking, am I ever going to get back and play again, you know, to the level that I want to play at? And I think the sense of relief that you saw with him after the game was real. It was right there.
Well, that's what I noticed.
Tim,
I thought, you know, he said, what did he say? One of the happiest days of my life. And I was telling JD, I mean, the reality was, you know, he maybe saw his career flash in front of his eyes.
Absolutely. Because now, instead of a career that might be shortened by injury, maybe now if he can stay healthy, he can have a career that the kind of career he wanted. And let's face it, this is also a year about him changing the narrative of his legacy. You know, changing the narrative of being the guy that, you know, nobody wanted to touch, who was, you know, too emotional and didn't take a Sacramento squad to the playoffs, and now he's got a chance to change that narrative to show people he can be a team player and to help a great team become even greater.
How much do you think just the attention that Cousins has been getting benefits this team a little bit? I mean, because you see the joy on everybody else's face, but I also sense a little bit of relief, you know, just even for a couple of days. You know, you get a guy like Curry and get a guy like Durant with the demand so high on them as far as just media availabilities and having to talk. And, you know, this is a big weekend, you know, for them with this, you know, being in L.A., which is always a big deal, playing the Lakers again, even though it doesn't sound like LeBron's going to play. You know, it's almost as if DeMarcus is giving them a little bit of a break away from the spotlight a little bit, if that's even possible, at least as much as it can be for a couple of mega stars like that. I mean, did you get a little bit of a sense that that's almost added to the good vibe a little bit around this team?
Yeah, because I think that's a good point. I hadn't thought of it that way, but, you know, they have to be relieved to talk about something else other than, you know, what's wrong, how come you guys aren't winning at the level you've been winning at? You know, now in the last seven games, what's right? What are you guys doing differently? And I think at some point they do tire of all that. And to talk about something else, and I think I mentioned this maybe last week or the week before, that I really think having him come back at this point of the season is great for this team because they need things to focus on because they can read the calendar, they know where they are, they know what's expected of them. So having this little experiment, if you will, come right in the middle of the season will give them something to work on and to try to get better with until the All-Star break. And then, of course, after the All-Star break, it's go time.
Tim, just one real quick about the opponent that it happened to be last night, the Clippers. You know, I'm looking at the box score, and that was a pretty slowly paced game. I understand the officials Well, we have 54 fouls. But there weren't really a lot of shots to go around. That you got to figure that number's going to improve by 10 or 15, I would think, from the 86.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, the last night was hard to get to a rhythm. You know, you look at the 86 shots, but then all the free throws that were taken. So it was really, you know, even my statistician last night, when we got to the halftime break, he looked at me and goes, that was an odd half. And he was absolutely right. You know, you couldn't get any field going, anything, you know, any stretch where there was, you know, multiple possessions without a whistle. And so it was kind of a choppy game. I don't think you could really take that game and say, this is how the Warriors are going to play with Cousins. I think we'll have to wait until we get, you know, maybe in 2 weeks we can revisit this discussion and say, okay, now we've had a couple of weeks, let's take a look at how they're playing with him, and is there anything markedly different?
Are you ready,
Tim,
for,
thanks a lot, and enjoy the day today. Sounds like you already are.
I am enjoying the day. It's a great day, and looking forward to seeing the family and having some fun.
Oh, nice. Nice.
Yeah.
Have fun, man.
All right.
Tim Roy.
See you guys.
Have a good rest of the day. All right, Tim Roy. And now I forgot what I was going to say. I was going to jump in at the end there, and now I can't remember what it was. See, this is the other thing that's been happening.
Well, it's...
What was it about?
Getting a little stir crazy in here looking at...
Like, what kind of room you're in? Are you in, like,
you
a
all
closet?
Right? Go ahead.
Fine.
Go ahead. I'm just going to stand back.
Well, I haven't really remembered what I was going to say, so that's going to be a little bit of a problem. But here's something from the text line, the world's greatest crutch, as it's known. Biedrich played 62 games and averaged 11.9 points and 11.2 rebounds in 08-09. So there you go. DeMarcus Cousins. I think if we keep talking about DeMarcus Cousins more, it will definitely come to me, the thought that I had. But I can always have a thought or two about basketball. That's not really a problem. But I appreciate you also trying to pass along to Tim Roy. You know, I like that. See, what you did was you conveyed to Tim Roy my theory about the scrutiny not maybe being on the Warriors now, like Curry and those guys, and it's going to be more on Cousins. And then Tim said he hadn't thought about it, but that's a great, great thought. That was originally my great thought. Is what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Are you there?
Thought.
Are you awake?
No doubt. I'm here. I'm here.
You know what? Let me tell you something. I think I know something. You're staying in Malibu, aren't you? Or you're staying somewhere like that.
Are you down
in Marina Del Rey right now? Something's going on.
No, there's nothing going on, but I think what is maybe going on is there's sometimes it rarely happens, but with this equipment that I'm using,
right.
I think at times there can be a little bit of a delay,
gotcha.
Maybe a 1 or 1.5 second delay. And I think we may be caught a little bit in this segment in that delay where
gotcha. You're
thinking I'm not there. And then I jump in and I actually step over you to get a little inside.
Well,
inside radio right now.
Well, yeah, and if you think about you and me, I mean, we're ordinarily about a second and a half slow. So you put on another second and a half, and I mean, the listener's going crazy. And, of course, the 925 pointing out that if I forgot what I was going to say, it must not have been that important, which is true, and it's something my father always used to say to me. Let's go to Roger in Fremont. What's going on, Roger? How you doing, man?
Steiny, you're having problems with your memory.
Oh, no doubt. No doubt.
Andres Biedrich had terrible hands.
Oh, my God. No.
Always rolled his eyes at him.
Oh, my gosh. You're thinking of a Donald Foyle or Eric Dampier.
That's true also.
You're thinking of Dampier. Oh, dude. Dude, that's the beautiful thing about Biedrich. He could catch Baron Davis's passes and finish. No, we're gonna have to disagree there. I can't acquiesce either. I can't say, yeah, Roger, you might be right. I'm not gonna do that. I think you're wrong on Biedrich.
Okay, maybe I'm thinking of all those other terrible centers.
That's very possible. And it could have been any one of a number of them. What else you got, Roger? What did you think of Cousins last night, Roger?
I thought he was pretty good. It was kind of funny that he fouled out, but that's all right. I bet his teammates gave him a lot of flack for that.
Yeah, well, that is the one thing. Hey, thanks, Roger. Appreciate the call. I mean, that is the one thing, and Tim alluded to it. I mean, they had as much fun last night as a barrel of monkeys. I mean, they have to be loving it. And they were talking about JD, the timing, and Tim Roy's right. They couldn't have timed it any better. I'm thinking if you're any other team in the league and you're in this time of year and you're itching for the All-Star break and now you look out to the West Coast and all of a sudden Cousins is back and the Warriors are jumping around like it's a season opener. I mean, it's trouble for the rest of the NBA. I don't think there's any doubt about it.
It's big-time trouble for the rest of the NBA, Steiny. It really is. And I just kept thinking last night, well, what happens if they actually really get on the same page? Like, what happened? Because they weren't on the same page, but yet there was still enough going on to where, you know, they Cousins is left open a couple of times for three. Cousins is able to hit, you know, Curry for a basket. Cousins is able to hit Iguodala for a three. It flowed enough to where you can see and think, boy, what's it going to look like when it really starts to flow? And if he really gets, you know, back closer to 100% physically, which may just not be on the table for this year. It may not. But if there's another level to get to, maybe in between where it is now and the top, I think that's the level that truly does make the Warriors unbeatable.
Yeah, I'm trying to think of, a team like this that played like this or that tries to play like the Warriors do. And the reality is, you know, the Warriors can play so much differently than any other team. You know, everybody says, why didn't every team try to play with ball movement and passing? Well, because every other team doesn't have the passers the Warriors have and the shooters the Warriors have. And the reason that the Warriors, I think one of the reasons the Warriors are so good is because it can be in any one of five players' hands, and more often than not, something good will happen, whereas other teams have a guy or two that when he has the ball, odds are something not good's going to happen when the guy's got the ball. They just have too many good players. Bottom line, they've too many good players.
Yeah, and that is the best way to look at it, I think. And that is what happened a lot last night was, yeah, it just somebody's going to make a play. And I think that's how you win playoff games, too. You know, you win playoff games when the guy who finds the ball, you know, in his hands in a big moment can do something positive with it, even if it isn't Curry or Durant or Klay Thompson, you know. And I just think if you put five guys out there, like you say, I mean, somebody's going to wind up with it, and you really don't hate your chances with anybody if they're taking a shot, or in maybe Draymond Green's case, making a play with the basketball for somebody else to get a shot.
Well, it kind of defies logic, but on the one hand, you look at the Warriors' starting lineup, and you're like, that might be the greatest starting lineup of all time. Five All-Stars. But then the thing about basketball is you can take one of those guys out, bring in Andre Iguodala, and it can almost be better, or at least at the same level, but they're just excelling in a different kind of area than the team did before Iguodala came on. And that's the thing about basketball. It's incredible. I mean, Iguodala's the sixth man, but when he goes on the floor, he can make the Warriors better. How is that? It isn't logical, but that's why they're so great.
It's an embarrassment of riches, Steiny. It really is. All right, that's going to do it for us.
In a good way.
That's going to do it for us. It is a joke in a good way. There's no doubt. Steiny, enjoy the Gridiron Gala tomorrow, right, down in Campbell?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Looking forward to it.
And I'll be over at Warriors practice at UCLA and then headed to Staples Center for the game on Monday. I'll talk to you guys on Monday.
Sounds good.
Thanks to everybody on the show today, our guests for Tim Roy and Tim Bontemps, the great Ramona Shelburne joining us here, 95.7 The Game, for James Pappas, and also for Nash, Kolsky, Shasky. They're next, 95.7 The Game.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.